Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to another hour of Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this hour. Plus, we invite your phone calls. 888-302-3684 is our number. And coming up this hour, we're going to take a look at a study that suggests that a single multivitamin can improve mood, also B12 and the brain. Sugar may shrink mitochondria in the brain, and long-term stress erodes memory, all coming up this hour, plus your phone calls, 888-302-3684, should you care to call us. And before we get to phone calls, an interesting thing happened when astronaut Scott Kelly spent a year in space. He's just returned after the longest U.S. space flight in history. Virtually a 1 year, it's like a 340-day sojourn in space. And what happened to him, and it's interesting because he has a twin brother. He has an identical twin brother. So that's a great opportunity for research. You know, it's take twins, separate them, expose them to different environments, and see what's genetic and what's environmental. Well, Mark Kelly, it was actually Scott Kelly who went in space. Mark Kelly reports that he went back to back with his space traveling brother, his twin, an hour after Scott returned to the United States early Thursday, and he had grown an inch and a half. He had grown an inch and a half in space. I'm sure there's a Viagra joke somewhere in there, but fascinatingly, within a couple of days, he reverted to normal size. I think that's quite fascinating. You know, so it zero gravity environment literally allows your spine to stretch. And that is just so interesting from the standpoint of everybody who does body work, chiropractic out there, anybody concerned with back pain, is in zero gravity, the discs in your spine literally expand. And perhaps, you know, we ought to be setting up back treatment centers in space. This could be a whole entrepreneurial activity. If anybody wants to underwrite that, it's my idea. I want credit. But can you imagine? An inch and a half of expansion in height when you go into space. Now, it's not all good because Scott Kelly said this Friday after returning from space, he suffers from sore muscles, joint pain, oversensitive skin. And that makes a lot of sense because in zero gravity, it's different. Your blood circulates differently. Your lymph circulates differently. You have much less in the way of certain types of exertion. I'm sure he did some conditioning exercises up there. Otherwise, he'd turn completely into a blob. But this very, very interesting experiment. And what they're doing this for, this is to prepare for missions to Mars that will last more than 2 years. They're trying to find out what are the effects of space on human physiology. By the way, this guy's no youngster. He's 52 years old. And he was willing to undertake this prolonged experiment for the sake of science. So very commendable, and hopefully we'll learn a lot about the effects of zero gravity on human physiology. Hey, this might be a good thing. Zero gravity for the spine? Who knows? All right, let's talk to Steve in New York. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi, how are you?
Well, my doctor told me I have, and I've had this for a while, spinal stenosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm short of going to space. Is there anything I can do for this?
You beat me to the punch because I'd say, well, you know, you got to volunteer for the next launch. Yeah, okay, so here's the deal with spinal stenosis. Spinal stenosis is a combination of inflammation and also progressive inflexibility of the spine. And the reason for this is that we just don't do enough to preserve our spinal function. We wait until we get this diagnosis of spinal stenosis or severe disc disease, terrible unremitting sciatica, and then we undertake physical therapy. Okay, well, maybe it's too little too late for some people. I got to say, the spinal stenosis is very, very hard to treat once it's developed. It involves a narrowing of the spinal canal, where the spinal cord travels down to the legs, and it can cause a lot of weakness, balance problems, and pain because the nerve conduction is disturbed. So what did your doctor say? I presume he just said, you know, what, do some physical therapy or, you know, suck it up. No. There's not much we can do. He didn't say do anything.
He said we have spinal stenosis.
Right. So take painkillers. Well, because you take painkillers and, you know, you create erosive changes in your stomach. You create leaky gut syndrome. It worsens the inflammation. So, you know, many of our patients, especially the older ones, do suffer from some degree of spinal stenosis. So I recommend physical therapy. I recommend, gentle stretching exercises to mobilize the spine, because I think you can, even once you develop spinal stenosis, you can sort of retrain yourself, redevelop flexibility. I wish I'd begun flexibility training a lot earlier in my life, because my first 20 years or so of my exercise career were just banging it out on the track, running, you know, cycling, and doing very, very heavy duty endurance exercise, not a lot of stretching. We need to teach our kids to begin stretching and make it a lifelong preventive strategy to avoid spinal stenosis. But also, spinal stenosis is about an inflammatory diet. There are certain foods that we can assign an inflammatory score to. Too much sugar, too much in the way of polyunsaturated omega-6 fats, foods that are bereft of nutritional value, you know, chips and things like that. These are things that promote inflammation. On the other hand, the foods that reduce inflammation are the multicolored foods, the technicolor foods. These are foods that are rich in anti-inflammatory nutrients. Fish, of course, rich in omega-3 fatty acids, very beneficial. Nuts as well. So, you know, we want something like a Mediterranean diet to quell inflammation. And ultimately, and this may not be instantaneous, but over time, over a year, two, three, five, we can see reductions in back pain due to changes in inflammation. So, look, the doctor doesn't have much to offer except for pain medication. Maybe you should see, a chiropractor, somebody who's a physical therapist who can help you with this problem, because it's poorly addressed in conventional medicine. You know, there's surgery for spinal stenosis. It's just not very successful. There's, you know, the steroid injections, they work temporarily, but ultimately they don't cure the problem. You can also consider, you know, taking glucosamine chondroitin or something like that. That might also help the arthritis. Curcumin, these are some anti-inflammatory nutrients.
Okay. Doesn't sound too optimistic for the future.
Well, you know, look, I urge you to try some of these things, because I think you'll be able to forestall it. Look, everybody to some extent is going to get stiffer and going to be having some more in the way of back problems as they age, whether or not they're formally diagnosed with spinal stenosis. The key is to mobilize and stretch and take the right nutrients to prevent it from getting worse. Okay? So that's what I would recommend you.
All right,
thanks.
Thank
you very much for calling, and thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We invite your phone calls, and we're going to take a look at a fascinating study. A single-dose multivitamin improves mood. It improves mood within 1 hour. What's up with that? We'll take a deep dive momentarily on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. and make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at NordicNaturals.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. We've got calls. We'll take them in just a moment. 888-302-3684 is our number. Could a single multivitamin work rapidly to improve your mood? Well, that's what a study is suggesting. And, you know, I wouldn't have anticipated this result, because my contention is that, yeah, some people might get a benefit from taking a multi in terms of mood. Not everyone. It's not a panacea. If so, well, you know, what we'd have to do is take a one-a-day multiple vitamin, and we wouldn't need Prozac, Zoloft, Lexapro, etc. But in this study, 76 women between 50 and 75 years of age were given an oral multivitamin mineral herbal tablet. It's got everything in it. It's got A, B1, B2, B5, B6, B12, C, E, and zinc at relatively low levels, RDI amounts. So that wasn't even a mega dose. It also contained a smattering of B3, D3, calcium, and magnesium, even below the RDI, as well as token amounts of 18 herbs and 3 strains of probiotics. So not even a power pack multi. You didn't have to take 6 a day, just 1 a day. Mood was assessed before and after using a cognitive battery test for cognition. And then the patient consumed either a multivitamin with an herbal or placebo. And just an hour after the dose was consumed, the mood was again assessed before, and a cognitive test was performed. So the two tests performed. One was a mood test, one was a cognitive test. Well, the multivitamin didn't make these women any smarter. There was no change. But there was a change in mood. Now, you could argue the merits of the study, because, you know, one study says this, one study says that. But interestingly, B vitamins can certainly play a central role in neurotransmitter regulation. Methylation in the brain is an important aspect of serotonin metabolism. Can be very important in mood regulation. Vitamin D deficiency associated with low mood. Zinc deficiency can have a relationship to depression. Low selenium may be linked to poor mood. So, you know, it's plausible and interesting that they saw such a profound benefit to a relatively small dose of a whole smattering of vitamins and minerals. So the bottom line, multivitamins have the potential. I'm not going to say this is going to revolutionize your life if you're suffering from profound depression. Probably won't do the trick. But nutritional support with multivitamins, and then let's think of other things you can use for depression. SAMe, St. John's wort. You can take even higher doses of B12, folate, much higher doses than you can find in a single multi, amino acids, tyrosine, tryptophan. These can have a major effect on mood. And then, of course, there's fish oil. Fish oil, too, is a very, very important part of a portfolio of nutrients for the brain, and specifically can address bipolar disorder, depression, even suicidal depression. There's a major role for nutrients to play in the treatment of psychiatric disorders. So why not? Why not apply this in the field of psychiatry? We'll talk about B12 specifically in just a moment. But first, let's talk to Brian. How you doing?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Very informative show. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to ask you a quick question. Is there such a thing as having excessive levels of vitamin D in your body? Because I've heard that it's good to have D levels up to as close to 100% as possible to ward off the different kinds of problems. My mom has been diagnosed with early stage kidney disease, I guess you'd say. Found protein in her urine, went to nephrologist. Nephrologist said, you're very, very, it's not horrible, but it's just kind of tipping into that column. So she's been taking 6,000 IUs of vitamin D daily. I guess my question is, I want to know from you, is it a good thing to take 6,000 IUs? Is it good to have your vitamin D levels up to 100% or as close to 100% as possible?
Yeah, so let me speak to that level that you talk about. It's actually not 100%. It's 100 micrograms. And so when you think of 100%, we think, you know, what kind of grade would you like on a test? Well, I'd like to get a 99 or 100. You know, that's, I don't want to get a 75 or 58. But actually, when it, 100 is the threshold of toxicity in terms of vitamin D. So while most people don't experience big problems until they get way above 100, 100 is a kind of a caution flag about the potential for creating toxicity. Toxicity with vitamin D can result in kidney stones, and there's a concern with your mom that she already has problems with kidney function. What I would shoot for is I would shoot for a level of 50 or 60. 6,000 IUs per day may be required to get to that level, but I would check. Here's the thing about people also with kidney problems. They have difficulty making or transforming the precursors of vitamin D into vitamin D. Into active vitamin D. So you have to measure very carefully what's called 125 hydroxy vitamin D in patients with kidney. It's a little technical, but doctors who practice nutrition know about this. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And you can garner lots more information if you go to drhoffman.com. We've got great podcasts. We've got great articles. And all the information that you need to safeguard yourself and your family from all manner of nutritional and medical mayhem. All right. So, big article in Psychology Today about the importance of vitamin B12 to brain health. Now, normally, Psychology Today talks about therapy, talk therapy, various forms of psychology. But nutrition is a big part of psychology and psychiatry. Vitamin B12 is essential to brain health. And even psychiatrists, they don't do much in the way of blood testing, but they often test for vitamin B12 because it's a shame if you see a patient with depression and it turns out it's not just existential malaise or stress or what they call a chemical imbalance in the brain that can be corrected with a pharmaceutical drug, it could be that they have vitamin B12 deficiency. It is well known that even before other symptoms of B12 deficiency can appear, such as anemia, that patients experience fatigue, depression, anxiety, and therefore it is prudent to check patients for vitamin B12 deficiency. And that may also be why sometimes vegan diets can put patients at risk for mood disorders, because if they're not supplementing properly, or if there's not, you know, even a smidgen of B12 in their diets, they may be low in B12. We also know that as people age, their levels of B12 decline, presumably because they just don't absorb it. And what puts you at risk for B12 deficiency, acid-blocking medications, metformin or glucophage, many medications can interfere with B12 absorption. So, fascinating new study suggests that the B12 blood test may not be that valuable for assessing B12 levels or the need to give B12. This doctors commonly perform that test, and the range is usually 200 to 800, or maybe in some labs it's 165 to 800. So if you're below 200, you're below 165, then you're deficient. But if you're above, you're fine. So you don't get the B12, and they deny you the opportunity to get B12 shots, which is an even more immediate way of repleting your B12. It's much more rapid and effective at getting your B12 levels up. Part of the problem with that test is that the amount of B12 that's floating around your bloodstream is a poor reflection of what's actually in your brain. And here's how they proved it. The research design for the study was simple. They took post-mortem brains after death from all sorts of ages, from people without diagnoses, they're normal, or from people with problems, such as autism and schizophrenia. And what they measured was something called methyl B12. Now, mostly when you're taking B12, you're not getting methyl B12. You're getting what's called cyanocobalamin, maybe hydroxycobalamin. Methyl B12 is premium B12. It's the type of B12 that your body needs to function. I mean, you can convert those others into methyl B12, but less efficiently. So what they found is that brain levels of B12 didn't necessarily match up with blood levels of B12. So they also found that methyl B12 levels in those diagnosed with autism or schizophrenia were one-third of age-matched controls, meaning the B12 just wasn't active in the brains of those patients. Now, I'm not saying that the sole reason for schizophrenia or for autism is B12 deficiency. Just give them a little B12 and they'll be fine. But it's part of the complex causation of neurodegenerative diseases. And dementia is really part and parcel of this, because we know that patients who have dementia-like symptoms, they often have very low levels of B12. So let's take back to the vitamin B12 shots. In the old days, you go to a doctor's office and you tell your doctor you're run down, depressed. Doctor just pull out a syringe and say, I'll give you a B12 shot. That is not something that younger doctors tend to do because they think it's pretty damn unscientific. They say, well, let's check for B12, and if B12 is really low, we'll give you oral supplementation, we'll recheck you, and if it turns out you can't absorb, then we'll pull out the syringe and give you a B12 shot, unlike those older doctors who are kind of quacky about, you know, being fast and loose about giving B12 shots. Well, it turns out that the veteran doctors who gave B12 shots might have been right, because the blood tests, highly unreliable. Many patients experience that shot of vitality when they get B12 injections. And what's the big deal? They cost, you know, a few dollars, very inexpensive, easy to do, and the benefits are very real for a lot of patients who suffer from depression or fatigue. So consider the proverbial shot in the arm. And unless you want a brain biopsy, which is, I'm sure, something that you don't want to undergo, you may or may not be suboptimal in your brain levels of B12, even if your blood levels seem relatively normal. 888-302-3684 is our number. We invite phone calls. And I promise to share this one with you. Here's another way that your brain can go wrong, and it has to do with sugar. Researchers at the Department of Obstetrics, Gynecology, Reproductive Sciences, Neuroscience, and Comparative Medicine This is at the Yale School of Medicine, said that when sugar increases in the body, as in diabetes, or in the aftermath of a sugary meal, that may be all it takes, even in a person who's not actually diabetic. Mitochondria in parts of the brain, what are mitochondria? The little powerhouses that run the cells. They rapidly change their shape and their function is impaired. So the headline, sugar rush shrinks brain cell powerhouse. That just about says it, because the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cells. This is published in the February 25th issue of the journal Cell. And what happens is it's a vicious cycle, because high levels of sugar change the brain, and the brain also feeds back to the body and may alter the way that the blood, that the body handles sugar, hastening the onset of type 2 diabetes. So the more sugar, the more mitochondrial dysregulation, the more signals are sent from the brain throughout the body to change or impair insulin handling. And this prevents the body from clearing high levels of sugar from the blood after meals. And it's a vicious cycle. Ultimately, those high levels of blood sugar progressively damage the brain. So a whole new theory in the origin of diabetes, and how it becomes a vicious cycle of craving, addiction, worsening blood sugar, increased waist circumference, progressive debilitation, tiredness, and you're off to the races to a full-blown case of diabetes. And finally, this one, and this is something that, yeah, we suspected for a long time. Ohio State University reports that long-term stress erodes memory. Sustained stress erodes memory. How does it play a role? The immune system may play a key role in cognitive impairment. This is the first study of its kind to establish a relationship between short-term memory and prolonged stress. It's a mouse study. In the case of the mice, that meant repeat visits from a larger, nasty intruder mouse. That was the stress. Mice that were repeatedly exposed to the aggressive intruder had a hard time recalling where the escape hole was. In a maze that they'd already mastered, they didn't remember where the exit was. They put an aggressive intruder in their space, and they froze. They couldn't find the exit that they had learned about prior to the stressful stimulus. The researchers report the stressed mice didn't recall it. The mice that weren't stressed, they really remembered it. So, obviously, maintaining equanimity and relaxation, mental balance, can be a big factor in improving recall. You know, some patients who think they're losing it mentally, they're suffering from early dementia or Alzheimer's disease, I evaluate them, and it turns out that they're just subject to high levels of stress. And what makes it more stressful for them is that they get in a vicious cycle of worrying about their memory loss. That worry itself impairs their cognitive performance. So don't get farklempt. That's a word that means don't get bent out of shape if your memory isn't what it used to be, because worrying about it will only make it worse. Do the right things to enhance your memory, and relaxation is among them. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 888-302-3684 is our number. And this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman. All right, let's do a nutrition potpourri to conclude our program. More hospitals are ditching antibiotics in the meat that they serve, according to a new article. Superbugs are now a big problem in hospitals, and that means that antibiotics don't work anymore. It turns out, though, that 62% of antibiotics that are important for humans are sold to food animal producers and used on farms. So what's the connection? Hospitals do not want to further the development of superbugs, which are cultivated in these big agribusiness farms, these farm factories, because the conditions in which they keep the animals cooped up together under unsanitary stresses makes it necessary to use antibiotics. Also, antibiotics, turns out, makes animals grow faster. That means they'd be more valuable at market time. And the implications for humans, well, you take a lot of antibiotics, you're likely to grow fatter. But also, if you consume meat that's got antibiotics in it, the amount of antibiotics in the meat may or may not be consequential for you. I think that's the big problem. The problem is that if the meat is contaminated, not prepared properly, the bugs you're going to get are going to be far worse than the bugs you might get from antibiotic-free meat. Because by definition, those animals already got antibiotics. If bugs are hanging out on the meat, that means those bugs are antibiotic resistant. So hospitals are getting in the game because, you know, it's a big problem. They can't find antibiotics that work anymore for people with serious infections whose immune systems are devastated, like many patients in hospital are. Patients who are transplant patients, patients who've gotten chemotherapy, they are particularly at risk. And it's a nightmare at hospitals like Memorial Sloan Kettering that specialize in cancer treatment, because they have the most wicked infections devastating infections because these patients are virtually without immune defenses. All right, drinking coffee may protect the liver from alcohol damage. That is, if you drink a little too much alcohol, it may be prudent to drink some coffee, according to a new study. Coffee has now been linked to a whole host of positive medical effects. It turns out that drinking coffee can actually, drinking a single cup of coffee each day led to a 22% decrease in the risk of developing cirrhosis. Cirrhosis highly correlated with alcohol consumption. Two cups corresponded to a 43% drop in risk, while three cups decreased this chance by 57%. Up the ante to four cups, and you get a 65% reduction in the risk for cirrhosis. So, yeah, interesting. All right, let's take a call from Walter in New York. Welcome. Hi, Walter.
Hello. Doc, you were just talking about B12. Yep. And I understand there is a relationship between the buildup of methylmalonic acid in the body and how your body utilizes B12. Could you please explain that?
The buildup of what?
Methylmalonic acid.
Oh, methylmalonic. Oh, very nice. Okay. So that's a little bit wonky for our listeners. Let's explain it. There are a couple ways to test for vitamins. One is to measure the level that's in the blood. Okay? And that's not the greatest way, because what we're actually looking for is do the vitamins do the job that's necessary? So, for example, somebody signs up, you know, two different people sign up for a job, and they then turn in a timesheet. And one person turns in a timesheet and says, it took me 40 hours to do this project. I'm going to bill you for 40 hours. Another person submits a timesheet and says, hey, I did it in 10 hours. I'm going to submit one quarter of the cost. I got it done faster. Well, that's sort of the way it is with nutrients. It's not about the hours, or in this case, the serum levels. It's about the net result. And what methylmalonic acid measures is it measures the net result of B12 in the body. It's a measurement of something that gets overproduced if B12 isn't adequate. Okay? So it's a more sensitive test, actually, than B12 levels. We can use it. But then again, Walter, in the previous example, I said the problem was there was disconnect between blood levels of B12 and brain levels. The methylmalonic acid still speaks to areas outside the brain. Mostly what you're getting is the effect in the body rather than the brain. So I'm not sure that you're going to get a perfect result even with methylmalonic acid, which is a better test, and that's a good point that you raise.
Yes. Thank you so much.
That's my pleasure. Okay.
And
so
one other question, if I may.
Sure.
A cancer stem cell seems to be something is wrong there. It's either a stem cell, in other words, that can become anything, and it's cancer. How do we get cancer stem cells?
Well, what happens is cells revert to a very primitive state. See, we all start out in the embryo with what are called pluripotent stem cells, which means they can go any which way. They can turn into anything, and then they differentiate, become specialized. They become parts of the eye. They become parts of the liver. They become parts of the heart or the brain. They're very specialized. But cancer cells go backwards in time. They revert to a more primitive state, and so they become stem cell-like in their activity, and then become very, very difficult to treat. This is the problem. The dilemma is that the more undifferentiated cancer cells are, the more the less specialized they are, the more difficult they are to treat with current modes of treatment. So there you go. All right.
Right on.
Thank you very much for your call. Thanks for contributing to our program with some good questions. And finally, on the subject of liver, here's a study that suggests that, you know, we talked about coffee versus liver disease. Here's another nutrient that can have beneficial effects, and it is astaxanthin for something called NAFLD. That's non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Caffeine, if you're alcoholic, if you have fatty liver disease that's not due to alcohol, astaxanthin may be beneficial. Astaxanthin can inhibit certain genes involved in the development of fibrosis, which is the process by which the liver stiffens and hardens and ultimately leads to cirrhosis and the need and liver failure and need for transplantation. So think astaxanthin for prevention of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, a condition that may affect as many as 20% of Americans. Thank you very much for joining us. Check out drhoffman.com for more information about intelligent medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Have a great weekend.